Well, once again, happy Easter. You know, we gather today to celebrate the central, most important event in the history of the entire universe, and that is this, that Christ Jesus, after being born in a manger, after growing in wisdom and stature and influence, and after being baptized, after being tempted in the desert by the devil himself, after choosing 12 disciples, after performing countless miracles, including healing the sick, giving blind their sight, giving the lame the ability to walk and run and jump, and after raising his close friend and a young girl from the dead, after giving hope to the woman at the well, after befriending the tax collectors and sinners, after teaching timeless, life-changing messages, after blessing and holding children and claiming they are the ones who have it right, after feeding 5,000 and then producing and describing his glory to Peter and James and John, and after introducing and describing the kingdom of God, after riding into Jerusalem to the cries of Hosanna, God save, after turning over tables in the temple, after confounding the wisest teachers, after sharing a last meal, after washing feet as a lowly servant would, after praying in the garden and after being betrayed by one of his own, after being arrested and questioned and mocked and ridiculed and spat on, and being stripped and beaten and scored and scourged, after having a crown of thorns pressed into his brow, feet nailed to the cross on the hill of Calvary, his cross, after being lifted up to hang in shame in front of people who mocked him, after being ripped Calvary, after being lifted up to hang in shame in front of people who mocked him, after being ridiculed by one of the thieves, after offering hope to the other thief, after calling John to care for his mother, after asking the Father to forgive even those who crucified him, after bearing the sins of the world and after feeling for the first time a disconnect from the Father because of the sin he bore on our behalf, after committing his spirit to his Father and after breathing his last breath, Jesus died. And after that, the earth grew dark and the ground shook and the temple veil was torn. And after the Roman soldier who stood and watched said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." After Jesus' side was pierced, after Jesus was removed from the cross, after his body was prepared for burial, after he was placed in the tomb, and after the stone was rolled to seal him in, and after a soldier was placed to stand guard, there was silence. It seemed as though darkness had prevailed, the enemy had victory. Maybe the sins of mankind were too much to bear. Maybe the stains of our iniquity were too much to cover. Maybe the blood of Jesus wasn't enough. Maybe the Father's wrath was still unsatisfied. Maybe Jesus wasn't who he said he was. Maybe his followers were all misunderstood. But then as the sun rose on Sunday morning, after the women decided to try and gain access to the tomb to provide more spices and oils, they arrived and saw the stone was rolled away and no one was standing guard. In the gospel account by Mark, it says this in Mark 16, verses 5 and 6, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And after Jesus appeared to the women and to Peter and to the other disciples, and after he gave evidence to Thomas, and after he performed many more miracles, and after he shared many more meals with his disciples, and 40 days after he rose from the dead, he commissioned his disciples and he ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of his Father, and he still sits today until the day he stands again and returns to bring his church home. You see, we celebrate Jesus because he is alive. For us, this is not simply a historical event, but rather the very hope of our lives and the promise of our future. Easter for every believer is the story of rescue. You see, if Jesus had not come out of the grave, well, what if Jesus hadn't come out of the grave? Look what 1 Corinthians 15:14 says. Paul says it this way. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." Ladies and gentlemen, do we hear that? If we don't have Easter, I am wasting every moment of my life, and so are you. He continued in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile or pointless, and you are still in your sins." If Christ had not come out of the grave, our faith would be pointless, and we would have no hope, and we would still be in desperate trouble. But we gather this morning because the centerpiece of our faith is this, that Jesus Christ is not still in the tomb, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that he is still alive today. Happy Easter. So let's look this morning at some promises to claim today because Jesus is alive and because Jesus has a heartbeat. If you're taking notes, if you have one of those things, we're going to be in point number one now. Number one is this. One thing that we should be excited about, one promise that we should claim, one thing that changes our life because Jesus is alive is this. It's the truth that our debt is paid. If the sacrifice of Jesus was not accepted by the Father, Jesus would still be in the grave. But the reason that Jesus is alive today is because the Father accepted his payment for our sin. And so because the tomb is empty and because Jesus is alive and because Jesus' heart is beating at this very moment, you and I have the promise that we can claim that our sins have been forgiven, that our debt has been paid. I don't know how many of you guys know who Dave Ramsey is, but he's a financial guy, okay? If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, then either your finances are a disaster or you're doing great yourself. But for guys like me, I needed Dave Ramsey. And so Dave Ramsey kind of teaches you how to cut up your credit cards and pay off your debt. And what happens at Dave Ramsey is that if you listen to his radio show, people call in all the time. And they call in and that he answers the phone and then they on the other side of the line scream, "I'm debt free," or "we're debt free." And they tell their story about how they paid off their credit card debts and they paid off their house and they paid off everything and they have no debt anymore and they're living in freedom. And just to hear their voice, they're so excited. And it's unbelievable. Because why? Because they understood the great mounting debt that they had, and now it's been washed away. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that so many, even with the Church of Jesus Christ today, we don't understand and grasp the fact that Jesus paid off the debt that we owed. We don't grasp the reality that our debt was so expensive and our debt was so large. Many of us kind of, Jesus, I mean, he forgave me for some of the things I did, but I'm really not that bad of a person. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have an idea of how much your debt cost, look at how much God paid. He paid it all so that you might be set free. Easter is the story of how God sacrificed everything on your behalf and paid the debt that you owed because of your sin and that I owed because of my sin. Romans 3:24 says it this way, "We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." About 2 months ago, our coffee maker broke at the church, and that's a big deal. I mean, that's a serious deal. And I don't know what happened, but it just started slipping all of our minds, and so we just started going to Starbucks in the morning and getting one of those big things. And that's a lot of money. And so it started adding up. We're paying like $100 a week for coffee. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. We need to get this thing fixed. And so I got online at walmart.com and I bought a new urn. And I was so excited because they said you can go pick it up today. I was all pumped. Well, then I get an email about 5 minutes after I get the confirmation email of the order and said, "Hey, we don't have any more of those. And you're going to have to wait a few days before you get it." And we couldn't wait a few days because Sunday was coming and I don't want to spend another $100 on Starbucks coffee. And so I went to Bed Bath & Beyond and bought the exact same one. Well, I continued to get emails from Walmart because I hadn't picked up the one that I had ordered and it was now delivered. And I got email after email and this is what it said. "Come redeem your coffee urn." And I didn't think anything about it. You know, I just delete, whatever. Walmart can figure it out. You know, they got enough help. They don't need me. And it dawned on me as I continued to prep and study for this is this. I could go to Walmart and pick up that urn because it was already paid for. I simply had to redeem it. And ladies and gentlemen, you sit here today and have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And for many people, we haven't gone and received that redemption yet. Oh, it's going to cost us too much, or oh, I'm afraid of how I'm going to have to change my life, or oh, I'm worried about you know this or that, or maybe this really isn't for me. And my challenge for you today is that regardless of where you are or where you're from or how spiritual you are or if you grew up in church or not or what the color of your skin is or what language you speak, hopefully you're speaking English so you can hear me. But here's the reality is that all you have to do is say yes to Jesus because you've already been redeemed. You've already been paid for. You've already been accounted for. There's nothing else that's owed. Our debt is paid. But most people don't celebrate this because they don't understand how much they owed in the first place. And I come to tell you today, we owed so much. And the only way that our great debt could be paid was for the greatest sacrifice of mankind, the life of God's one and only Son. Because Jesus is alive today, because Jesus' heart is still beating today, we have the promise that our debt has been paid. Number two, because Jesus is alive, we have this promise: no one is too far away. No one is too far away. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's my story. There's some people, you know, you're raised up in church and it's all you've ever known. That wasn't my story. I felt like I was the furthest from God of anybody in the whole world. I got into the muck and mire of life, was very selfish and hurt a lot of people along the way, left carnage behind in my life. And when I heard the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and that Jesus Christ died for me and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, for 200 times I heard that and made no change in my life. And then one day it just clicked. That for so many times I would hear that, I'd say, that's good for this person or this person, but it's not good for me because I'm too far gone. I'm too far away. God doesn't love people like me. I've taken too many steps in the wrong direction. But the reality is that Jesus Christ is alive today. His heart is beating, and no one is too far away. Because the mission of Jesus from Luke 19:10, this is the words of himself: for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. It doesn't say that Jesus came to hang out with religious people. It didn't say that Jesus came to do a bunch of religious activity. It does not say that Jesus came to help those who are helping themselves. It says that Jesus had a mission. It was to seek and to save the lost. And after Jesus says that, he tells three stories, one of which is a woman who's searching for a coin. Another one is a shepherd who's going after a lost sheep, and he leaves the 99 who are already found to find the one that's lost. And then he tells a story of a young man who came to his father and demanded that he get his side of the estate, and he took all the money and he went and he squandered it off in really bad lifestyle. And then found himself feeding pigs and wishing that he had the food he was feeding the pigs, and it came to his senses, and he came home and said, maybe if I just ask the Father, and maybe if I just ask my Father, if I can just be a servant in his household, I'll have a better life than I have now. And when he started to come home, the Scripture teaches, Jesus teaches in the story, that while he was still a long way off, his father came running to him, and he embraced him, and he put a ring on his finger, and he put a robe around him, and he threw a feast for him, and he killed the fattened calf. And Jesus is telling this story because he wants us to understand his mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. And some people in this room today are lost, and we are afraid of that word. We're afraid of that word because of the implications that it have. Oh gosh, I don't want to be told that something's wrong with me. Ladies and gentlemen, a lost child is something to be sad over, not something to be offended by. And if a lost child is in a store wandering around by itself, I don't care how good of a person you are or how bad of a person you are, you're probably going to stop everything and try to help that child find their parents because you realize no matter how evil you are, hey, that's really messed up. That kid needs somebody. And the illustration that Jesus paints of mankind is that there's a lot of people who are wandering around lost. Some people straight up ran away and they knew it. But a lot of people just wandered around, they're lost, and they have no idea how to get home. And the mission of Jesus is to seek and save that which is lost. And because Jesus is alive, you're never too far away. Jesus is not buried in a grave someplace and his mission is over. Jesus is still alive and he's still seeking and saving that which is lost. He does it every week in local churches like this, all across our county and all across our state and all across the world. No one is too far away. You can never have done too much or strayed too far or hurt too many or left too much wreckage. No one is a lost cause. Jesus is alive. It's not too late. I think about it's not too late all the time when I read the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. And there's a guy that's hanging on one of his sides who's a thief who's mocking Jesus and ridiculing Jesus. And then there's a thief on the other side. And this thief is hanging on the cross in the same way Jesus is. And the thief is literally in his last hours of his life. And he looks over to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Surely today you will be with me in paradise." That's not just a fluffy story. That's a reality that happened. And what can we learn from that? That it's never too late. Some people say, "It's too late. I had my chance. I blew it." You might be here today and you say, "I had my chance to follow Jesus, but I blew it. So now I'll just kind of do the Easter and Christmas thing, and that's what I'll do, because obviously God doesn't want me." And Jesus is alive today, and Jesus tells you today, you're not too far gone. It's not too late. What I love about the illustration that's painted by that true story of the thief on the cross is that thief had no chance to do anything redeemable with his life. He had no chance to all of a sudden become a great evangelist, or had no chance to all of a sudden, you know, give a lot of money to the poor. He had no chance to do anything good. All he had was a chance to die, and Jesus still offered him life. And you might be here and say, "I don't have anything to offer. There's nothing that I can do. My life is coming to an end," or, "I feel like my life is coming to an end. It's too late for me." Jesus is alive, and no one's too far gone. Some people say, "You know, I've done too much. I've done too much." As Jesus hung on the cross, there were people who were mocking him, spitting on him, calling him all types of names. And in the midst of the darkest moment of Jesus' life, he looks at them and says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You might have done some terrible things in your life, but even you wouldn't do that. Even you have some kind of conscience deep down inside that says, if Jesus Christ was hanging on a cross, I probably would just keep my mouth shut. I mean, I might not say anything in his defense, but I'm definitely not going to throw, you know, coals on the fire. And this is what I say. The people that were throwing coals on the fire, Jesus looks to them and then looks to his Father, and in his dying moment says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And you might be here today and you say, "I've done too much." But Jesus is alive today, and the same Jesus that looked at the people who crucified him and say, "They haven't done too much, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," he looks into your life, and as guilty as you feel and as bad as you might feel about the things that you've done in your life, he looks at you and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," and he offers you rescue today. That's the story of Easter. Jesus is alive. Number three. He understands us. Because Jesus is alive, we have an advocate who sits at the right hand of God the Father who understands our lives. You know, being misunderstood is a painful thing. Being misunderstood is a dangerous thing. If you look at what's happening in our world today and how many times we see news stories of people who go crazy in local schools or in shopping malls or wherever, or at an army base. Everybody has the same thing in common. They're all misunderstood. They all feel like no one gets them. They all feel like they're the only one. And Easter is the story that Jesus is alive, and because Jesus is alive, we have somebody who sits in heaven who looks at our life, and though he never sinned, he understands everything we're going through. He understands the pressure of peers. He understands the rejection of friends and close loved ones. He understands Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says this: "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Listen to verse 16. "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." For the marriages in this room, women, you know how hard it is when you don't feel like your husband understands you. You explain a story and you simply just want him to listen and say, "I understand." But many times you get the response that I give my wife so many times: "You're crazy. If she bothers you, stop hanging out with her," right? We need to be understood. Guys, marriages, fathers, husbands, don't we long for a day when we can come home and explain to our wives the pressures of our life and they understand? Children, don't you long to be understood by your parents? If you could just get what I'm feeling, if you could just get what I'm saying. We live in a world where everybody is misunderstood. Easter is the promise that Jesus is alive, and because Jesus is alive, we have an advocate who sits in heaven who understands us. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. You'll never be in a situation that Jesus doesn't understand. You'll never experience pressure that Jesus didn't feel. You'll never need rescue the same way that Jesus did on the cross. He gets you. And he loves you. I think that's the craziest part. Is that not only does he understand me, but in the midst of understanding me, still loves me. Aren't we so afraid that people see all the aspects of us? Isn't there a fear in each of us of exposure of, okay, you know, I'm gonna let people see this part of me or see this side of me, but I don't want them to see all of me, because if I do that, then they're gonna see things they don't like and I will be rejected. But we have a great high priest, we have a savior, we have an advocate who understands us and still loves us. Don't we just need to be understood? For many of us, we feel a need to hang with people that get us, that understand what we're going through, to be able to say, "Yes, I've been there. I've felt that way. I've been in that situation before." There is something to be said of being understood. It might not change our circumstance, but someone else knows what we're going through and what it feels like. Jesus is alive and our debt is paid. Jesus is alive and no one is too far away. Jesus is alive. He understands us. And last, number four, Jesus is alive and nothing is too hard for God. Death is an interesting topic. And for those of us who faced it, who've had loved ones who have died or who've had loved ones on a deathbed, Scripture speaks of this in Ecclesiastes 7:2. It says, "It's better to be in a place of mourning than a place of feasting, for death is the destiny of all men, and living should take it to heart." And what that scripture says is there's something so serious about death, something that we grasp and understand about death, is that we can't overcome it. We can't stop it. We can't reverse it. Regardless of how much money you have, regardless of what kind of family you have, regardless of how well you take care of yourself, everybody faces it. And no one, regardless of what they have or who they are or how important they are, can do anything to stop it. It is the unsolvable problem in our culture. No one can overcome it. No one can fix it. No one spends money trying to figure out how not to die. We just try to figure out how to live a better life. Because we all know it's coming. Jesus is alive today, and nothing is too difficult for him. Because if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, whatever problem you have in your life isn't too hard. You say, man, tax time just came, and man, I got blindsided, and I owed so much, and I just turned my tax returns in, and I didn't send a check because I didn't have anything, and I know they're gonna come hunting for me. You have that stress right now. This is what I want you to hear. Jesus conquered death. Nothing's too difficult for him. You might be here today and your marriage is in shambles and it's difficult and it's tough and it's beyond reconciling. Jesus conquered death. You might be here today and your children and you, the relationship is broken and you wish you could push the rewind back button and go back and fix things and say things differently or been there more or done whatever, and you feel that disconnect and there's nothing you can do to fix it. This is what I say to you today. Jesus Christ is alive, and because he's alive, he conquered death. And because he conquered death, no situation or circumstance that you face is too difficult or too big for him. Nothing is unhealable. Nothing is unfixable. Jesus Christ is breathing. He's living and his heart is beating. Nothing's too difficult for him. And that Jesus who rose from the dead is alive within you. 1 John 4, verse 4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You face difficult circumstances and situations today, and I want you to know this. If you're a believer in Jesus, he's alive, and he's alive within you. Romans 8:31 says it this way, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The God who has the power of resurrection, the resurrecting power, God, not just the God who created the universe, because that's cool, but the God who conquered death. I mean, he rewrote a law. The law of sin and death, which was unreversible, was reversed by God. He's that powerful. And you say, oh, there's some, it's already in stone, it's already in writing, it's already in black, it's already ended. There's no pages, there's no appendix, there's no additions to this. It's done. The contract's done. I can't fix it. Well, a contract called death was done and Jesus undid it. Nothing is too hard for God. But you know what? As I close with this, this is probably what most people struggle with. Because if nothing is too hard for God, then why didn't he intervene earlier? If nothing's too hard for God, where was he 10 years ago? If nothing's too hard for God, where was he when I got into this mess in the first place? Surely if he had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, then whatever problem I have isn't that hard. And if for some reason he hasn't intervened or fixed our issue, it isn't because he can't. And it isn't because he's holding anything against you. It's because he knows something. He sees something that we simply won't or we simply can't. I pray this would be encouraging for you today. You say we may still have our diseases. See, Jesus is alive, but there's still pain in this world. The grave is empty, but sometimes so are our lives. We may still have our diseases and we may still be in a tough place financially. Our marriages could still be on the rocks and our job might still be rough right now. Our neighbors might still drive us crazy, and our kids might still feel distant. Our parents might still be gone. Our local sports team might still stink. Our car might still need a lot of expensive repairs. Our diet might not be what it should. And our clothes might still be shrinking. Our school loans might still be looming. Our hair might not be the color or the thickness that it used to be. Crime might still be rising. Our neighborhoods might still be changing. Politics might still be rotten, and wars might still be raging. But this morning, the grave is empty. Jesus is alive, and mankind has hope. See, we have hope because the most vital need has been met. The greatest debt has been paid. The darkest stain has been washed away. The law of sin and death has been replaced by the law of the Spirit of life. And ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of the raging turmoil of this world, we are offered peace with God. You can call on the name of Jesus and be saved. You can cry out to Him and be found. Though the waves might be crashing in around you, you have been offered rescue. Scripture says this, right where you are, right in the midst of all the mess of your life, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Regardless of how big the waves are or how much pressure you feel in your life or where you're at, I just want you to hear, Easter is the story of rescue. Easter is a story of your rescue. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, it can't be that easy. I mean, don't I have to repay? Don't I have to fix? Don't I have to manipulate? Don't I have to clean it up? That work was done 2,000 years ago. You just have to say yes to Jesus. Now, in the next few moments, we're going to give you the opportunity to respond. And let me just tell you, this is not about generating a moment, creating a feeling or an emotion. I know it's a spiritual thing. I know walking from death to life is a spiritual experience. It's not something that anybody can generate for you. It's not something you can be talked into, because if I could talk you into it, somebody else can talk you out of it. It's something that the Spirit of God can only do in your life. But if you've been here this morning and you've heard the truth and it's just pressured on your heart and you feel it and you know it's you, cry out to Jesus for rescue and He'll rescue you. We don't have to make it more difficult than it is. There's not five easy steps. There's just not. There's just calling on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. Would you bow your heads and pray with me?